And so I figured we'd, sensing that change of direction a little bit just for this week to focus on a particular challenge from God's Word regarding training in the Christian faith. So please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for the team represented here. Even on Sunday, Lord, the multiple parts that you are using in such a beautiful way to usher in our hearts nearer to yours, God, through song, through worship, through testimony. And so, Lord, would you give the rest, give us your insight into your heart with this message, Lord. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and lead us, and help me, Lord, to communicate what you have for us this morning, Lord. In your name, Jesus, amen. It's like so predictable. I think now you could actually predict my movement. I probably do this. I probably do this. I'm sorry. The children are dismissed right now again. Wow. If it was video recorded, that whole thing was probably just, it's like almost clockwork. All right, next week, I'll get it. There's really a lot to remember, you know. So many moving parts. But anyway, praise God for again, the team, really, just the laborers in this place to pour into the kids. So for those of you who are watching the football game tonight, Super Bowl, there's something really important for us to keep in mind. And that is this. The game itself is a culmination of countless hours of preparatory training, right? It's a culmination of countless hours of preparatory training. They train hard throughout the year. So what we don't see is what goes on behind the scenes. The daily disciplines of weightlifting, practice exercises, restricting their diets. Like, they have to have a really strict diet, right, for their body to be optimized to perform the way that these guys do. We don't see the many strategy and team meetings that take place throughout the year. We only see the result of each player's labor and discipline and how well they perform on the field when they face their opponent. And as we know, there's only one winner, right, to tonight's game. There's only one winner. So this reminds me of a particular section of Scripture that I wanted to share with you that makes a comparison between an athlete running a race and those who live to follow Christ. I'll read some of it to you. So it's 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That will last forever. Amen. So, of course, we're not after an actual crown itself, right? We're not after a trophy. We're not after a merit badge of some kind. Those are nice things that we, are acknowledged with, in life here when we have accomplishments and achievements, a way of symbolizing, and affirming someone's accomplishment. But in the Christian life, as we run the race that Christ sets before us, our motive is something very different. Our motive is something very different, and it should be this: loving, living for, and becoming more like the Lord Jesus, who rewards us. He's the one who rewards us, actually, Scripture says, with a crown of righteousness and a crown of life eternal. Unlike the awards of the world that so quickly fade away, we run for an imperishable reward, the Scripture says. So in the same way that an athlete prepares for a competition with their physical skills and their abilities being tested, we're also to be intentionally training, so to speak, so that we become spiritually stronger in the faith. And this involves growing in certain spiritual disciplines like self-control. We don't like that one. This is very important for a very good reason. Our faith is often tested And when our faith is tested, that is how it's our faith is refined. That's how we grow stronger. So that it would be proven genuine, God's word says. That we'd be able to stand firm. The stronger we grow in our faith, our character is refined, we're becoming more like Christ, we become stronger so that we can resist. We can resist the attempts of the evil one and continue to run the race marked out for us. Scripture says we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes, right? There's a scheming that takes place. We can't always explain it, but it exists, and we all know it when we're honest with ourselves. In 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, Paul encourages Timothy with this. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. You see, God's word doesn't negate the value of physical training, right? Exercising, working out, going to the gym. This is important. But the greater emphasis from God's perspective is the spiritual training. Spiritual training is far more profitable, the scripture says. It's profitable. Why? Because it results in rewards now and for eternity. Yeah. So what are some ways we can train ourselves in godliness? To see Christ's character formed in us. Like, what are some ways? I hope something is obviously coming to mind right now. Very simply, it's His Word. Taking time to be in His Word, right? Meditating on His truth. It maybe sometimes it could sound cliche, because we, like, in church and in messages and sermons, a lot of times, like, we hear such a strong emphasis on God's Word. Well, there is a reason. There is a real reason for that. Because when we're in His Word, it really does. His Word becomes alive in us. You know, His Word changes our hearts, you know. And, like, transformation happens by consuming and feeding on the Word of God. So our message will always be and always include such a strong drive and encouragement to be people who know God's Word, to be in God's Word, that it would change us and fill us and consume us. Be transformed, right, by the renewing of your mind. We renew our minds through God's Word. So that's one of the most obvious ways that we train ourselves. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture is inspired, or another translation will say, God breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. There's that profitable word again. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So it's God's word. It's God's word that does all this for us. Knowing and studying God's word is one of the most vital parts of our training process as Christians. Yeah. And the second part of that verse, verse 17, explains why. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What an awesome promise. You know, like, you don't know where to turn sometimes, right? Like, how do I make it? How do I succeed in this Christian thing, in my walk with Christ? How do I advance? How do I excel? How do I progress in my growth and my maturity in the Lord to see the formation of Christ, the living Christ in me? How does it happen? His word, His truth is one of the key components, you know, to do that in us. His word changes us. His word changes us. And we become equipped for every good work. Along with being students of His Word, we have to recognize, too, that there's the importance of being still before the Lord, which we've been talking a lot about and will continue to talk about. Connecting with Him through prayer. That's also part of our training. That's also part of our training. In the Gospels and throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see many times how Christ Himself retreated, right? He retreated from the ministry. He retreated from the people. what did he do? He went to go slip away to be with the Father, right? To be refreshed, you know, to be comforted, you know, from the Heavenly Father. And so, yeah, like even Jesus, when he was incarnate, right? The big Bible word to describe Jesus taking on flesh in his humanity, he felt that necessity, you know, to keep tight, to stay close. You know, yeah, he's the Son of God. He could part waters. He could raise the dead. He could heal the blind. He could, you know, he could cause the blind to see and heal the lepers. But yet, there was still this aspect to the Lord himself that he needed to retreat, to be with the Father. And in everything about Jesus, we always know he teaches us. He models for us. You know, we say we follow Christ. Well, what does that mean? We bear the name of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, he wants us to do what he does, you know? So again, he taught us that. He taught us the importance of retreating. He taught us the importance of slipping away into that prayer huddle, right? Staying close to the Lord. That's a strength for us, always. Always a strength for us. So, Matthew 26, verse 41. Because we all feel it. We all feel different pulls in different directions. Jesus says to his disciples, keep watching. Keep watching and praying. Why? That you may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Plenty of times in my own devotions, I've chewed on that passage. And the word that, like, really stays with me is the keep. The keep implies an ongoing movement, you know, an ongoing discipline. It's not just a one-time thing. Like, don't just pray once and forget about it. And you're really feeling real legitimate struggles and hardship or whatever. You know, Jesus is saying, keep watching. Keep, be alert, beware, be discerning. Don't be unaware of how the enemy is trying to trip you up, right? But keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. Other scriptures elsewhere, pray without ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing. It's a posture and an attitude of prayer. It's not the legalistic, like, oh, I have to be on my knees like every minute. Like, no, it's not God's heart. It's not God's heart. Again, thinking, knowing relationship with Jesus, that personal connection, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of our heart that communes with him throughout the day, whenever we're in need. And we can do that whenever and wherever. So, yeah, he calls us to be watchful continually, to be praying continually, that we may not enter temptation. Our flesh, our body, the natural person, Lord, that Christ has redeemed. We still have this body, this flesh, you know, that has the old sometimes, you know, that kind of creeps back in. And Jesus says, we need his spirit. We need his spirit so that we can walk in the new person, walk in the new creation. So it's very important not to stop praying, not to stop being watchful. And this is how we stay guarded against temptation. And in a sense, it's our spiritual fitness routine, you might say, as part of our training. It's also part of our defensive strategy, according to what Jesus is saying, right? Makes sense. This is our defensive play. Keep watching. Keep praying. That you may not fall into temptation. Have that attitude and posture of prayer. So God's word and prayer allow us to connect with and know Christ more intimately, more personally. And there's also value in spending time with our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. The fellowship of believers, Scripture says. Why do we do that? Why is that part of our training? Why is that part of our strategy, so to speak, both for defense and for offense? It's because we get encouraged. We get really encouraged when we spend time together. I don't know about you, but the greatest blessings for me have often been, you know, connecting with another brother, you know? I'm saying on a personal level, when you connect one-on-one. And then obviously, when we're together as a family of God, brother and sister, we're encouraging each other. It's so crucial because it's so easy to feel alone, right? It's so easy to feel alone. Like, we know God's calling us to do something, to run this race he set out for us to do, and yet it's easy to feel alone. So So the company of believers is a strength for us. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. I love that passage. In the NASB, if you haven't noticed, sometimes I'm going back and forth with the NIV. My wife and I have a little debate on this, to be a little personal, but she does win me over a bunch of times. I'm like, you know, I think the NIV really hits us really good, so I tend to quote a lot from the NASB. But yeah, there's something really cool here. Not giving up meeting together. We need to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The NASB would say not neglecting the assembling of the brethren. You know, we don't want to neglect this time. We don't want to neglect or retreat or withdraw from when we gather, you know, to encourage, to spur one another on. Again, that's our group huddle, right? We have our personal huddle with Christ, our Lord. Then we have our group huddle, you know, with the saints of God together to seek the Lord and to plan and to be encouraged. All the more as we see the day approaching. You know, the signs of the times, that no one knows the day or the hour, right? But we see the signs. So we need to stay connected with other believers, hearing their passion for the Lord, hearing their love for Him, hearing their love for His word, for His mission, inspires us, encourages us. Like, we need that. I need that. You encourage me. When I hear about different things that are going on, and it's like, yeah, that's great. Like, we need this encouragement that we're in this together. We're growing together. We're serving together. And so these relationships spur us on to keep running the race with perseverance. And on that note, Proverbs 27, 17 describes this really well. How do we improve? How do we help each other improve and grow in our spiritual maturity? Right? As iron sharpens iron, so does one man, so does one woman sharpen another. Amen. You know, there's such a strength there that we work off of each other in our refining. You know, sometimes keeping accountable, something you might be struggling with. I encourage you, get in an accountability relationship with someone. Don't battle it alone. Like, invite someone in. You know, invite the Lord first, always. You know, keep that huddle with Him and pour out your heart before Him. But always bring alongside another brother or sister into what you're going through. Don't ever go through it alone. It's a trap. It's a trap. It just doesn't work that way. You know, so be encouraged. Bring someone in to get sharpened, refined, stay accountable, stay encouraged. We need each other in the fight, in the battle, in the game, so to speak. As members of Christ's body, we are meant to work together as a team. I came across this article that mentioned this. Football players spend more than 44 hours a week with their teammates, conditioning, lifting, reviewing footage of games, and running plays. And that's like 6 hours of training. That's like 6 hours of training a day. So yeah, they're pretty intense. They're all in. Like, you'd say they're all in. Like, what we're going to watch tonight, and probably in the subsequent games leading up to this, like, they're all in this. So it's challenging, right, to consider. It's challenging. So just like these professional athletes, how they spend time together, honing their physical skills, as believers, we also benefit greatly by coming together to sharpen our spiritual game. And that's what happens when we get together. The last couple Wednesdays, actually, even just for a little quick testimony, I know Jerry's doing a great job sharing about Overcomers. Just visiting the couple of times that I've been able, lately been coming to the Overcomers, you know, we break up into a small group. And in that small group, some very meaningful things happen. And it was just a reminder to me of, like, yeah, like, there's such a strength in assembling and meeting together when you feel that safe place, right? When you can just share openly and be encouraged. And if you're ever not sure or looking for something to do, or you're like just sitting mindlessly on the couch on a Wednesday and you want to do something a little more of uplifting value for you, I encourage you to come out on Wednesday night. Because seriously, like, there's always benefit. There's something always very meaningful. And Jesus always shows up in a very powerful, sweet way, actually. And it's been very good, even for me. And I'm very grateful for that. Anyway. So clearly these football players do not expect to win the game, right, without going into strict training. Like, it would be unreasonable to say, hey, like, you're in the game, you're on the team, but you don't have to train. You don't have to train. Just show up at the Super Bowl, you know, and all the thousands of fans, you know, who are cheering you on, and all the lights and all the promotions and the logos and the commercials and everything, you know, that'll give you all you need to succeed and do well. No, it doesn't work like that, right? They have strict training orders that they go through to get to this point. They wouldn't dare work out only one day a week, right? They wouldn't dare work out one day a week. In preparation for this, with the stakes being as high as they are, let me tell you, the mission that God put on the church, the stakes are much higher, much higher, right? We're talking about lives that need to find him and know him, right? Lives that need to be transformed, delivered and saved, to be rescued from the traps that have bound them for years and generations. And that's who we all represent, right? In our stories, we have a past, we have a history. And Jesus met us in a very personal, real way. And that was the game changer. That was the game changer. So the stakes are very high for us as a church, as a people, as the people of God. So yeah, they wouldn't just train once a week. They wouldn't sit on their butts the other 6 days a week and watch TV and have nachos with cheese. You know, they wouldn't just lounge, right? It would just be silly. It doesn't even mesh. It doesn't even compute with the objective and the task at hand, right? So it shouldn't be that way with us as well, you know? And like, again, like, my heart is never like a legalistic thing. My heart is to relay and to communicate what we understand God's heart to be. You know that he tells us he wants us to run in such a way to receive the prize. Run in such a way as to receive the prize. Take it seriously. Take our relationship with Christ seriously. Not just a one-time thing, not just a one-time prayer, you know, and we got our entrance into the team, into the game, into the eternal glory that awaits us. You know, like, there's so much more he has for us. So we have to be intentional to exercise daily disciplines to keep our spiritual muscles from becoming atrophied or becoming weakened. We want to have our faith remain strong in the Lord. And we do this by spending time in God's Word, connecting with him through prayer, fellowshipping with other believers. And that all plays a role in our spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. So here's the question, you know, and I'm asking myself too. How about you? How are you prioritizing time with the Lord? How about fellowship? You know, connecting and assembling and meeting together with other believers beyond just now. You know, this is very necessary. This is very important. But even throughout the week, you know, we all need each other. And let's consider, too, thinking of these players having these strict diets and this strict training. They're giving up a lot. Think about the things that we consume that fill our hearts and our minds throughout the week on a regular basis. Think about the type of nourishment that we're getting. You know, is it good spiritual nourishment? Is it feeding our and uplifting us? Or are we filling up on a like junk food that's toxic for our souls? You know, it just weighs down our soul, you know? It's just something to think about. You know, because God, we are. We're in the game. We're in the game. We're on mission with Him, and He has so much more for each of us. He doesn't want to see us drown ourselves out in defeat and sorrow and despair. You know, like there's a time and a place for that, right? When we hurt, we all hurt, right? Each of us hurt, we all hurt. So we assemble, we get together, we lift each other up. But then we keep going. We keep going, we press on, we get up again. So whether we acknowledge it or not, we're all in a spiritual battle. We're all in a spiritual battle. It's not quite a game. It's not something to take lightly. But it's definitely a confrontation between two opposing sides. Satan wants to deceive, confuse, and throw us off. He tries to tackle us down, intercept the play, and cause us to fumble. And even more subtly, sometimes the enemy simply tries to distract us, just to distract us from the goal, keeping our eyes on the prize. He stealthily attempts to defeat us on the field. God's word tells us that we're not to be unaware of his schemes, as we said. So the challenge is this: to discipline ourselves, to be spiritually fit, to be ready for the game, ready to combat the adversary and keep our offense going. We need to keep our offense going. And I want to close with this one last point, and I trust it will encourage you as it encouraged me. So think about this. This is what really needs to sink in right now. Although we don't know the outcome of tonight's game, maybe somebody does, you know, for the conspiracy theorists. We don't know who will win or who will lose. In the spiritual realm, we do know who the ultimate victor is. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He conquered the grave. He defeated sin and death. And he lives and reigns forevermore. And in him and through him, you and I now have and live with the promise of that victory. It's like that victory that was purchased for us is ours. It's ours. His word says we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him. So the true reality for every believer is this: living, dwelling, and abiding within us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Yeah, living, dwelling, and abiding in us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. 1 John 4:4 says this: greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when you're feeling that temptation, the fumble, when you're feeling like the play just got intercepted, this is what we need to remember: that greater is he who is in us, who is in you, than he who is in the world. Amen. Yeah. And the greatness of God, this is the marvel, this is the mystery, the great wonder that God himself, right, would come to dwell and live inside of us by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit. He is the one who enables us to train. We can't do it in our own strength, by the way. You know, that's why the emphasis is always on his ability, not ours. Right? We have a part. Our part is the seeking. Our part is the drawing near. Our part is becoming students of God's word. That's our part. The rest of it, he does. The rest of it, he does. So he's the one who enables us to train and to practice the spiritual disciplines. He helps us overcome and keeps us from fumbling into the schemes of the evil one. And he empowers us for the game, for the mission, for the call to be Christ's witnesses. 1 John 5:4-5 says this: everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who believes. If you've believed and placed your trust in Christ, you're on the overcoming team. You're already on the overcoming team. Don't ever forget that. Because the enemy will try and tell you otherwise. He tries to tell me otherwise. When you hit your low moment, your dark moment that no one else knows, Don't ever forget, you're on the overcoming team. So no matter what interception attempts may come that try to throw us off, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stay the course. Knowing that because of Christ's victory on the cross, we too are victorious. We too are victorious. So today is Communion Sunday, and we're going to celebrate that victory. We're going to celebrate that victory. And we'll also remember, love so amazing. A love so amazing, so divine. Like we sang before, demands my soul, my life, my all. Does that song hit you? Like, when I was sitting there, man, that song is just so beautiful. Like, getting our focus on the cross, this divine love. It is so amazing, so divine. Has it demanded your soul? Has it demanded your all? Has it demanded your very life? When we consider all that Christ has done for us, his death that brought and purchased our redemption. Anyway, it's communion. So we're going to shift our focus on the Lord now. If the those serving communion would come forward, please. Oh, right. They're up here, fellas. I'm sorry. Surprise. I thought this is such a nice table. It looks nicer up front. I moved up last night. Sorry. Forgot to communicate. All right, brothers.
Next time you speak German.
Yeah. They pass out the bread. Just know that communion is a time for believers. You know, it's an open table. We're going to pass out the elements, and we'll hold them till the end, and then we'll partake together. Okay. So yeah, go ahead. So this is a time of remembrance, right? To remember Christ's willing sacrifice for us. Something so simple as even the table is reminding us of this, and that's why I moved it forward. Like the song that we sang, The Wondrous Cross, we can't ever forget the high price that Christ paid for our redemption, you know, and that's why he tells us to remember. We need to never forget. His sacrifice was our ransom, paid for our sin. To free us from our sin. To free us from death, to free us from hell. That's the sobering word, right? That's the sorrow that led to joy when we look at the cross, because we know the weight. We know the weight of our sin. The Lord himself knew the weight when he bore it for us on the cross. So that's what this time is, to get our hearts there, to get our minds there, thinking about this. And it's also a time of personal reflection. You know, in your quiet moment, I encourage you to even close your eyes. Or if you had a prayer that you wanted to pray out, you can do that now. If you had a prayer or a praise focused on the cross of Christ, right? Let's keep it focused on the cross of Christ. We want to take this time seriously. You can speak that out now. Yes, God. Thank you. Ushers, come forward. Okay. Corinthians 11, 23, 24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Actually, let's eat together, okay? Let's eat together. Jesus, we really are unworthy. We really are unworthy of your love. God, that you would even care for us. Ones who at one time rejected you, Lord, who denied you, and who sometimes still even run from you, yet you pursue us, God, and you show us a grace, you show us your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. You show us this great love that is so undeserved. So, Jesus, we just acknowledge our praise to you, the King of glory. The lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Oh my God, how this was part of your plan from the beginning. Wild and mysterious as that is, you're after true worshipers, Lord. So thank you for laying down your life for us. May we continue to reflect and ponder your grace and your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name. I encourage you to think of your story. Think of your journey with the Lord. Think of your wrestling with Him. If that's you, you know, we all have a different story. Just think about His grace. Think about His mercy. Think about His forgiveness. Free to us, but it cost Him everything. So I just encourage you to, you know, just make this personal. You know, talk to your Heavenly Father. Let His Spirit examine our hearts to see if there's any hurtful way in us. If there's something troubling you, if there's interference, if there's sin, confess it. You know, this is a time to make it really personal as we remember the Lord. Whatever distractions, pray against them. You know, it's not so often we have these quiet moments, and that's part of our challenge in these last few weeks and moving forward. Ushers, come forward. First Corinthians 11:25-26. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink together. Please stay on me for our closing prayer. Father, we truly are grateful for all that you have done for us. May we never forget your great love. And may we keep your love for us on the cross as our motivation to train, to persevere, to press on, to be about your business. Lord, help us, God, to keep our priorities where they need to be and not get so sidestepped. Lord, we want to be strong in you, and we need the help and aid of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us, Lord, afresh, Lord, with a power and a strength that is beyond us, God, to do all that you call us to do. Lord, we are very fragile in so many ways, and yet you say that your power, your great power, is in us, Lord, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So may your people be encouraged to know that whatever challenge comes this week, Lord, that greater are you that is in us than he does in the world. We love you, God. We are forever grateful for the high price you paid for our redemption. Lord, we are your redeemed ones, your ransomed ones, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as a reminder, if anyone would like to meet with someone for prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Everyone else is dismissed. God bless you. And don't forget the pictures.